Hi, I'm Teresa White, ex-corporate recruiter turned career clarity expert, five-time certified career coach, and a certified Sparkitab advisor. Not too long ago, I was stuck in a purposeless job, drained from 50-plus hour work weeks and browsing job bars with no clue what I was looking for. Fast forward past a huge breakthrough in self-discovery, and you'll see the life I have today. One filled with meaningful, energizing work that I absolutely love. I created the Career Clarity Unlocked podcast to give you actionable advice and help you find a career that energizes you and fills you with meaning and purpose. If you're a woman ready to transition into a fulfilling career that realizes your full potential and fills you with joy, then you're exactly where you need to be. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Career Clarity Unlocked. If you ever found yourself spiraling down late night rabbit holes, and let's be honest, who hasn't? This one is for you. I'm Teresa White, and I'll be joined today by the brilliant Katie Momo. Katie is a sales copywriter and strategist responsible for clients selling over $12 million in online products and counting, all that without being salesy. She's usually hidden behind the scenes, strategizing launches and writing persuasive psychology-driven coffee that gets people clicking the buy button. And even though you might not have heard of Katie, you very likely might have bought something from her already, since she moonlights as the big names of some of the biggest web celebs. She helps people unlock conversations one click at a time. Welcome, Katie. I'm so excited to have you.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much. You know that I will talk to you all day, every day.
You're the best. This is going to be such a fun and brilliant conversation because you truly are one of the smartest people I've ever met. And every conversation with you is like, whoa. And last time the two of us talked, we both found such relief of finally finding someone who understands the madness of our overactive minds. And that is why we are both here today, because we want to share that with you. But before we dive into that productive chaos that goes on in our brains, I want to start with a Sparkitype. If you have not taken the Sparkitype assessment yet, or might have never heard of it, I highly recommend heading over to sparkitype.com and taking this free 10-minute assessment. It is the best assessment that exists in this world. And it's so worth 10 minutes of your time.
So, oh, it's so good. Like, it is so on point. It's crazy. I was like, oh, I feel so seen.
And that is the response I get from over 90% of people who I sent to that assessment and have conversations about it with. It is different than any other assessment out there.
Yeah, it looks crazy, yeah. I swear.
What is your Sparkitype profile?
So I am a scientist, apparently, but no, it's absolutely me. Like, that is, so you would know, it's like the problem solver. Yes. And that is exactly me. And then my anti-Sparkitype, is that what it's called?
Like, the shadow
is a maker, which is absolutely on point. Like, I love to make things. And I was reading like the description and it was saying your shadow might be like, it might be as strong as your primary one. And I totally feel like they go hand in hand for me. And then I had to laugh because my anti-Sparkitype was a nurturer. And I'm like, yeah, it's true. I'm like answering questions. And I was like, I do find that draining. Like, I do find that very taxing when it's very deep and emotional. And you have to like care. And I'm like, yeah, that's not my strength. Yeah, I wish it was.
And it doesn't mean you're not good at it or that you don't care. It's just simply a heavier lift. And yeah, I can totally relate to that.
Yeah, it's a drain. Like, I feel like it taxes me a lot, you know, when I have to be in that position. So yeah, I was like, yep, check all across the board.
So before we talk more about those, I'm going to give the readers a quick overview about what the different Sparkitypes are. Yeah. So Katie's primary Sparkitype, the primary Sparkitype is what makes you come alive. It's what really energizes you and fills you with purpose. And that is for her, the scientist. And I am a scientist too, so we can very much relate on this. Scientists come alive when they can pursue burning questions, wicked problems, puzzles, riddles, and quandaries. You see things in need of figuring out, and it's the problem-solving process that sparks you the most. 100% for me as well.
I love it. Yeah, no, I am like, I'm always trying to solve problems to the point where people are like, don't comfort to me if you want comfort. You know, when it's like sometimes people are like, I just want to be heard. And I'm like, no, if like, if we're talking about this, like, we got to fix it.
So true. And then your shadow, the maker. Makers are all about the process of creating. Creation is a thing that gets you out of bed in the morning. And as a maker, you're most alive and engaged when you can start with an idea, then turn it into something that exists in the world.
Yes. Like, I don't know. Are you a maker? Is that?
I am not. My shadow is the essentialist. My shadow is the essentialist. So I create order out of chaos.
You do. Wow. You definitely do. Yeah. Because I was going to say, because you're also a great maker. Like, I have seen the content that you create and it's just top notch. Like, I get to see inside courses and programs all the time. And I know I've told you multiple times, I'm like, Teresa, your stuff is the best. Like, I love how process driven it is. It's so clear. Like, this is not my area of expertise, career clarity, but like seeing your process, I'm like, everyone needs to be in Teresa's world. Cause I used to be in that struggle point. I used to be like, what am I going to do with my life? And knowing you and what you do, I'm like, I wish I had you all those years ago, cause that's what I needed. But yeah, I could see the essentialism in it too, because you just drill down to exactly what needs to be done.
Thank you. And that's our shadow spark type is often one that we are really, really good at. And we do it in order to do our primary even better. And that's 100% true for me. So for me, the essentialist, my shadow, I like reading order out of chaos, but it doesn't give me that same fulfilling and flow feeling that problem solving does. But I do it because for my coaching program, as you thankfully noticed, is there is a huge, huge, huge mountain of information out in this world about career clarity, job searches. Mm-hmm. And my brain goes instantly, okay, how can we make sense of this whole mountain of information, distill it down to what really actually is effective and works? And then how can we make this into a program in order to solve the problem? I wouldn't want to do it just to create order. That wouldn't be fulfilling. I needed to do it to solve the problem. And then I'm like, yes.
Yes, exactly.
I wonder if it's similar for you that you love the process of creation, but you love it especially when it's like, okay, now I can solve a problem with that.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Like, I had people. So as a copywriter, for people who don't know, we are writing for specific, we're getting people to take action. So like signing up for something, buying something. It's not like writing a blog post or something, which is like informative. That doesn't do it for me. I would die if someone's like, can you write a bunch of blog posts? I'd be like, oh no. But I love the problem solving and the challenge of being like, okay, how do we position this? How do we show people that this is going to help them get to where they want to go? You know, like understanding the psychology of where people's minds are and showing them how this is going to bridge the gap and all of these things. It's all one giant puzzle and like micro puzzles within it. And that is so freaking exciting to me because I'm like, let's help these people. Let's move them over the problem, whatever they're facing. And this is how we're going to be able to communicate to them that we can do that. So yeah, it just like jazzes me up so much.
It's amazing. And this is what I love is when you do the work of your sparker type, this is how you talk about your work. You're just so excited.
I am so excited.
You just light up when you talk about it.
I know it sounds so, so nerdy, but I'm like, I literally love copywriting. Like, it's so gratifying to be able to help people, to be able to help other businesses, to help them get their message into the world and everything. And because it is a giant puzzle and it's really hard to do yourself, especially because people are so close to it, right? Like, especially people who, like you, like everyone I work with, are experts. So, you know your topic so well, and then it's hard to think and take a step back and be like, okay, I'm here, but where are my people at? Like, they're thinking around this level because they've got a million other things going on in their life. So we need to just meet people where they are. And I always say, like, I'm a translator. Like, I come in and I translate what's in the offer and what people need to hear and give that to them. So people go like, oh yeah, okay, this is what I've been looking for. I need this.
No one does that better than you.
You, that made my day.
No, I mean it. I 100% mean it. And what fascinates me so much and why I love the Sparker type assessment so much is that we're both scientists. And the scientists, we love solving problems, figuring things out. But there's a billion ways we can do it, right? Like some scientists, they might love working in a lab or like actually in science in a project.
Yeah.
But for you, it is the copywriting. Like, how can I figure out how to translate an offer to the people that actually are looking for this offer? And for me, it is, how can I figure out the problem of what people are meant to do? How can I figure out that everyone has a career that makes them as excited as you are about your work?
Yeah, and that is a huge problem. That is so, oh my gosh, I remember being in that deep, dark place. It's life-changing when you find what you are supposed to do. It really does change everything in your life. And everything, it changed the lives of people around you as well. And yeah, I love the idea. Like when I first saw a scientist, I was like, like I love science. But I'm not a scientist. But when I read the description, I was like, oh, yeah, that is absolutely me. And I like how you say you can apply it in whatever way makes sense for your life.
Yes, exactly. And that's so beautiful that you can go into so many different roles and then start looking for things that you can figure out problems to solve.
Yeah.
And there are so many opportunities out there. If you are just aware of it, of the thing that sparks you and in what way it sparks you.
Yeah, it is such an underrated life skill. Like, I feel like, you know, if we had been taught these sort of things in high school, like people would be so much better off. And of course, there's, you know, you need to know yourself, you need to grow with yourself. But I think those are probably essential things that don't change about you. But still, you know, sometimes it takes us a few decades to come around and be like, I need to investigate myself and find out what makes me excited. And find the job, the thing that I spend most of my waking hours doing, find something that makes me feel fulfilled and excited.
100%. Yeah, no, my life changed from spending 50 hours somewhere that was very draining and not making me happy to now loving my job. It changes everything.
It does. Yeah, absolutely.
And I love your profile, the maker and the scientist. So the maker is super creative. And that's obviously who you are. And I just thought back to our last conversation and you had mentioned about posting a hamster dance meme to describe your brain at night.
Yeah.
I would love to hear more about how your mind races with ideas at night, because I can so relate to that.
Yeah, it is hard. Like it's a gift, but it's a struggle. Like I swear to God, 3 a.m. is my witching hour. I wake up and my brain is like, girl, I got some ideas for you. And I have to record them because most of them are freaking amazing. So my particular method is I email myself because I know I'll check my email in the morning. And in the morning, I'm like have all these messages to myself where I'm just like, oh my God, this is great. But sometimes, I mean, I do wish I could sleep sometimes. Like one of my friends was like, oh, I had a really bad night the other night. And I thought, this is what Katie must do every night. She's like, I'm just awake thinking about things. And I was like, yeah, that's me. And I think you do that too, don't you? You have like the midnight like ideas.
Yes, it is. Oh my God, yes. I'm actually, because for me, it turned into such a problem of not sleeping that I'm actually on meds right now for my insomnia, which
you
I don't know
what you gotta do.
But something, I had to get some sleep. But I so relate. Like our minds just don't stop. They're just running. And I think we talked about that last time. Like, why is it 3 a.m.? Like, can it come at 3 p.m.? No.
I know.
No,
how great would that be? No.
3 a.m. is the time when, like, oh my God, this and this and this and this. And you're just like, wow. Yes.
I often find it's like the puzzle pieces that were missing click into place. Do you find that? Where yeah. I'll be like, oh, something's going on. And I'm like, oh, I'll figure it out tomorrow. And then at 3 a.m., I wake up and I'm like, that's it.
So true. Oh my God. I wonder if other scientists have that too. Because we have those, I think we think a lot in puzzle pieces.
Yeah, well, totally.
How do we place all these puzzle pieces together? And where is that missing one?
Does this fit? Yeah. Does that fit? If I move it over there, yeah.
Yes.
Totally my brain.
And 3 a.m. somehow is where the missing puzzle pieces are places. Missing puzzle pieces. They're all coming in.
It really, I think it's like, you know, they say when you sleep, it's like your brain is still working on something. So oftentimes, I don't know if you do this. So like, I probably do this. It's probably not good, but it's good. You know, where I'll be like, okay, brain, work on X, Y, Z. I'll be like, okay, I'm trying to figure out this. Brain, do your thing. And then I'll wake up and almost every single time I will have an answer for the thing that I had intended to look for. So like sometimes I don't do it to be like, maybe if I don't do that, then my brain will sleep. It doesn't. So I may as well set it on a task that I ultimately want to have solved because my brain does its work. And I'm like, thanks, brain. Great. I mean, not great at 3 a.m., but still.
Oh my God. That was one of the most genius insights I've heard ever.
Really? Oh yeah. I do it all the time.
Be giving my brain a task overnight.
Yeah. Before I go to sleep, I'll be like, okay, I need to work on X. I'm trying to find a solution for X. And because like I work on clients' projects all the time and it's amazing like how many ahas I have between 3 and 4 a.m. Like I'll be like, oh my God. Like I have written a lot of copy between 3 and 4 because like all the things that like I absorb all the information from my client, you know, and then I go through all their data and I'm looking for all the connections and trying to find the links. And then it's like those connections are made and I'm like, oh, comes together.
Wow. Wow, that's just incredible. And I so relate to that because for me, the puzzle is what my clients are meant to do. And during the day, I like in my thinking brain, I'm like, okay, there's the skills, their experiences, their accomplishments. That is what sparks them, transferable skills, strengths, all of that. And it's my thinking brain of like being like, okay, how do I place this together? But I think at night, I have that same thing. I think our thinking relaxes and our creative mind somehow takes over. And it just comes up as these, oh my God, yes, that's what it is. Oh my God, yes. Like, and then I've gotten away from trying to work at night. But yeah, for me, it's first thing in the morning. I'm like, I need to email them. I have this genius idea. How about this? And then it's usually when they go back, they're like, oh my God, I just read this. I was like, yes, you figured it out.
I love it. Oh my gosh. I love it that our process is almost exactly the same for completely different topics. Because that's the way that you say you're like, da, 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 da. Like I do that as well. And I'm like, there's something here. I just don't see it yet. I'm like, oh, what is it? And I'm like, okay, just step away. Step away. It'll come. It'll come. And then, yeah, those connect. I feel like they just bubble to the surface. That's how I feel like it happens in my brain. And it's so crazy that we have the same process.
I know. I feel like that we need to start a study to see if other people who have the scientist as their sparker type, if their brains work like that too.
I would love to know. How can we make this happen? Yeah. How can we learn from other people like us?
Yes.
To use it even better.
You have a problem to solve, Katie. How can you get all the scientists? So anyone who's listening in and takes the sparker type assessment and your primary sparker type is a scientist, you need to let us know if this is relatable to you. And if you agree, no matter what field you work in, if you solve problems, do you have that same idea engine in your mind at night?
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't stop. It's so funny, actually, now that we talk about it, my last office job before I left to start my own business, there was a big problem there and it was like outside of my scope, but I was like, I'm going to solve this because I was like, this is ridiculous what we were doing. It is so inefficient, drives me insane, waste so much time. There's so much loss of data. So anyway, I figured it out and I was like, we're going to automate this process. We're going to get the tool. Da, 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 da. And they literally told me, they're like, we don't pay you to solve problems. And I was like, but this is so efficient. I was like, this is such a better way. So anyway, they finally adopted it. Everyone was so happy. Like it solved hours of work for people, like hours and hours. Like that saves so much money on a weekly basis. But yeah, just like the intense pushback that I had because I was just like, no, no, you don't need to solve things. And I'm like, I do actually.
Yes.
I do. And I'm really damn good at it.
You solve, then you don't need to, then you don't need a business.
Yeah.
Isn't that what business is about? You solve problems to make things better. Processes, products, everything.
Everything. Everything is a problem to be solved. Everything can be optimized and improved as well. It's just like, yeah, you can make things even better, which is so fun.
Yeah. And I'm actually now wondering when you think back about your career, because you were also not fully fulfilled in your previous career.
No, I hated it.
Do you feel there was a lack of Well, one, opportunities to create as a maker, and yeah. number two, opportunities to solve problem or that not being appreciated.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, so my background before that role, like I grew up in my parents' business. And of course, as you know, being a business owner, you are constantly solving problems. You're always like, how can we make this better? How can we do this? Da, 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 da. You know, you're just like, it's a nonstop thing, which is great for us.
Yeah.
So when I went out into the corporate world, I have that same mentality of you're just always going to improve things. Da, 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 da. And they were like, no, we don't do that. That's not the way we do the things the way it have been done. And I was like, but the way it's been done sucks. And I was very stifled. And that drove me insane. Yeah. What about you? Where I guess you probably didn't have a lot of, like, you were probably very like following the steps in yeah. your job in HR. No.
100% stifled is the word. And that is for everyone, no matter if your spark type is a scientist or a different one. When we have that innate to drive to often do the work that's described by our spark type, and when we don't have those opportunities, it's so stifling. So yes, I want to solve problems. So my background is in HR, HR generalist, HR recruiting. And my essentialist side, so that creating order out of chaos, was satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not 100%, but for a good part. There's a lot of administrative stuff, but I was really good at it and I was given more of it, but I wasn't in love with it. I can do it well, it's okay, but the problem was there were no problems to solve. And yeah. every time I got into a new role, I was like excited because like, okay, we can make all this better. And yeah. I took like such a messed up recruiting process that took weeks, and I had a terrible candidate experience and not efficient communication with manager. And I made this like this really beautiful, smooth process where we can get people hired in a week.
Oh my God, amazing.
Increase like my, I hired at over 200% of every other recruiter in my process just because I improved the process. It's something I cannot not do.
Yeah,
you cannot not do it. I hired, I think, at 270% off my target, which was based on prior year performance. But then I had it figured out. And then that becomes routine. And that's what is mm-hmm. killing me, is I need problems to figure out. And I cannot figure out a problem once and then manage this or do this process for the rest of my life. It is so stifling. It's painful because there's something that's missing. And at that point, I didn't have the knowledge or the insight or the words to describe that what is missing. I just didn't know. I just knew this isn't it, but what is? Yeah.
And it's hard to explain to people because they think like, oh, you've got it. Then you just like coast and you're like, I don't want to coast. That's so boring. It kills me inside. People ask me all the time to do like retainer copy where it's like every week. And I'm like, I can't.
I had to do projects because I want to solve that problem and then move on to something else. And then, you know, usually a lot of clients will come back to me every month or so, or every couple months. And I'm like, yeah, let's do this because we got a new problem to solve. But like just the routine thing, which is a great business model. That is so stable. It's so easy for people who are good at it and love it. I'm just like, I wish I could be you, but I'm not. I can't. Yeah. It kills my soul.
And I love that about you, that you're so clear on it would be a great business model, but it's not me. And I'm going to be me. I'm going to do Katie.
I got it. You can't fight yourself. You know,
you're fighting yourself is like, it's a one way bad street. Nobody wins.
No, but I would argue that the vast majority of people who go to work every day, they spend 8 hours a day fighting themselves because they're forcing mm-hmm. themselves to do work that is not aligned with what makes them come alive, that is not energizing, and it kills their soul.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe that. I was there so much. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes when I read the copy from you, it just like kills me because I'm like, it brings me back in time. I'll be like, whoa.
I remember that. I'm so grateful I'm not there. I'm so grateful for my life and my business and my clients and everything.
Oh, my gosh. It was so much work. But so worth it. I feel like there's no better work to be done than discovering yourself and what makes you excited and what fulfills you and just freaking going for it. I know it's so scary, right? But you've got everything to lose.
Yeah. And that does, there's no right or wrong path, right? It is about figuring out what is this that makes you come alive, and then where do you want to do it? Freelancing is one option, or starting your own business, but there's also so many careers and so many amazing companies out there.
Oh my gosh.
That allow you and support you to do that work. And I imagine if both of us would have been in a role in a corporate where we would have been given consistent problems to solve and figure out, and that was valued by our companies and managers, we would have been much, much happier in those roles than we actually were.
Yeah. And I think that's such a good point. A company that values that aspect of yourself and what you bring to the table, because that is a huge asset, and not everybody can do what we do. Just like we can't do other things that other people can do. Everyone has their own gift, but if you're not in the right role, the company doesn't win and you don't win.
It's a lose-lose.
Right, exactly. It really is a lose-lose. And I think a lot of times that's also when people run into blocks. They're like, I can't progress in my career. I can't find that right fit. And it really starts with finding inside, like, okay, what is it that needs to come out inside of you? And then aligning, finding that alignment.
Yeah. And it's just, it's such a different process than like how we are taught in school to find a career, where it's like, oh, you know, what careers have pensions?
What career have good job opportunities? And you're just trying to like shoehorn yourself into something, or you're like, oh, I got into this program at university, so now I'm going to go do this thing. Yeah. And so oftentimes, I mean, I am the same. I'm not doing anything related to what I did in school. And I feel like a lot of people I know, same thing, but you're trying to justify the fact that you spent $100,000 on something and 4 years of your life where you're like, I guess I should do this now.
Yeah. But I would always argue that even if you feel like, okay, I've studied this.
What did you study, by the way, actually? So I studied design, and I actually do use all of the, like, so many skills in unusual ways almost every day.
I can see that 100%. Yeah. Yeah. That's the maker in you, that
totally
that creative process that brings something together and makes an idea manifest.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, even though I'm not the one designing websites or the web page for people, I come from a design perspective as well. And not just in terms of like, this looks pretty or this is popular. I'm like, okay, let's look at it from a conversion perspective and see how we can make your website not only look beautiful, but work effectively. So I draw on these skills all the time, even though on the outside, it doesn't look like it.
Yeah. No, I see that 100% when I see your work. And for that example, if you study design and then after you're like, okay, now I have to be a designer because that's what I studied. I paid so much money on it. I've invested so much time. I have to be a designer. Mm-hmm. Instead of feeling forced in that hole, if you have those insights, you can be like, okay, I love to create things and I love to solve problems. In what way can I be creative and solve problems that leverages the skills I've gained, but in a way that allows me to tap into what really makes me come alive? And that's when I have people who have these aha moments of like, oh yeah, so it's not, I don't have to be just a designer because that's what I studied, but I can use those skills in a way that energizes and excites me.
Totally. Yeah. And also too, for me, I feel like, because I did work as a designer for years. I was doing high-end jewelry design, which is very fun.
Wow.
I got to work with all the sparkly things.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. It's like one of those things where it's like a past life.
And I feel like I fulfilled that goal that I wanted to, you know, where I was like, great, you know what? I did that. Like, case closed. I got to sort of the peak that I wanted to in that career. And then basically, like what you're saying, you're like, what's next? What's the new challenge? What's the new problem? Because I was like, I kind of solved so many problems now and I got to this amazing level and I'm like, what now? And I had been working in the marketing department in that organization at the same time. And I was like, I'm really into this.
Love that. Yeah, it's beautiful of how you were aware of this isn't right, and I need to find something that is, and it led to where you are today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I just kept saying yes. I think that that is like to something that excites me, to something I was like, I don't know if that's right, but I find it interesting, you know? And then I just sort of like follow that little breadcrumb. Because I mean, who decides to be a copywriter? Like, it's, you know, kind of an unusual career.
Yeah. But I will, that is so, it's such great insight to follow those breadcrumbs. And we are so taught to not listen to our gut and think with our head. But when we do that all the time, it gets us into those careers where we feel stuck and unhappy and not fulfilled. Yeah. But when we follow those breadcrumbs of like, that is exciting. Maybe I can do more of this. And leaning into that and allowing yourself to do that, that's when we find happiness like you found it in your career.
Yeah, that was totally it. And when I logicked myself into that, my last corporate career, that was like a total, oh, this is a smart move. You should do this kind of thing. And yeah, but I was so unhappy. But absolutely, like just taking like little baby steps.
It's amazing how when those steps add up, what transformation can happen. You're just like, wow, I came this far? I used to be way over there, like in the distance.
Yes. I also love that reminder to appreciate how far we've come. No matter where you are in your career and in life, you've come so far.
Absolutely.
And to look back and be like, wow, I've done all of this. And if you've done all of this, it also shows what you're capable of doing in the future.
Isn't that true? I always used to think that, like, I've come this far. That just means that I can kind of do anything. I can kind of make anything happen. If I got to this point, which everyone said you would never get there. So I was like, okay, like I can, it probably means I can wrestle something up and, you know, take everything I've learned and put it into something else. Cause I feel like all the random parts of my career I draw on today, no matter what anyone has done, you can turn that into something else and it will be a tool or a skill or a resource that you have that nobody else has your combination of experiences.
100%. And I want to go back to the million ideas that you have in your head every night. And I'm super curious, what's going to be next for you? What are some things that are on your horizon and that you're particularly excited about right now?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, this is very specific to me, but I just put out a course, like a little mini course about sales pages. And then I realized it would really help not just business owners, but really help other copywriters as well, because a lot of people really struggle with it. And I've been teaching copy for almost 10 years. So I have a really like clear, specific process because my background in the flight school that my parents own, which is aviation, everything is processed, everything is streamlined and systematized. So like I have a really good brain for that now because it's been taught that for so long. So I'm really good at systematizing things. And I teach every week I teach people how to write copy, which I just love doing as well. So anyway, I realized that this course can not only help just business owners, but other copywriters. So I am doing another sales page to speak to people that can help around that topic. So I'm really excited for that.
It's like giving back to my copy community.
Of course, I have to ask, did you have that idea at 3 a.m.?
Of course I did.
And I was like, oh, I also have this for them. Oh, and I also have that for them. Oh, this will really help other copywriters. I basically sketched out like an entire sales funnel at 3 a.m. because I was like, oh my God, this was meant to be.
And did you write the entire website copy at 3 a.m. as well?
No, what I did, I really got some great ideas that I'm putting into practice. That's what I was doing earlier today, actually. So I did the copy for the webpage. I was like hooking up all the back end of everything. So it's coming. So yeah, but it was that 3 a.m. idea that happened.
That is so exciting. Anything that has Katie 3 a.m. ideas is genius.
It's like 90% gold, 10%. What was that?
And that's where our thinking brain kicks in when you read the email in the morning. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Or like, I didn't type that out right. You're just like,
what do you want to leave our listeners with at the end of this episode?
I would say if anyone hasn't done their Sparkotype, I really recommend doing it. I have done, actually, for one of my corporate jobs, I had to do personality tests because they're like, we want to figure out like your strengths and all that sort of stuff. And it was fine. I was like, yeah, that's kind of true, but nothing was as accurate as the Sparkotype for me. And it honestly, because I am in a place where things are really good, it validated where I am. And it helped me give me insight to be like, oh yeah, that's why I like doing these things. And if I had taken it before, like years and years ago when I was in corporate, that definitely would have given me so much more traction and, you know, support to be like, I need to get into a role where I can leverage these strengths that I have that I wasn't really aware of at the time. I was just like, yeah, I like just solve. Like, I'm good at finding answers. That was always like my thing. I'm like, I'm resourceful. I'm good at finding things. But now I realize that's kind of unique, which is pretty cool.
It is so cool. It is amazing. And it's the combination of your Sparkotype plus all the skills and experience and strengths that you have that makes you so incredible and so unique.
Yeah. And we all have these, right? So knowing how to access it, having these insights that we don't necessarily see because we live with ourselves. We're just like, yeah, I'm really good at making stuff. Or I'm really good at finding the simplest way to do things or whatever it is. Or I have such a caring, nurturing soul. And yeah, that's such a gift to know what sets you apart and know how to find something that gives you that life and gets you so excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want all the listeners to really be inspired by how much you love your work and that it is possible for everyone to find work that you really love and that makes you happy and this excited.
I really hope so. I just always think what a better world it would be if people were in a position where they were like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. I'm literally up at 3 a.m. because I have so many ideas. I'm so excited about what I do. That I can't wait until the morning comes and I get to go to work. It's honestly, it's amazing to be in that position.
Imagine if that would be our world where maybe we don't want everyone to be up at 3 a.m., but no. We want everyone to be up at, let's say, at 6, 7 a.m. whenever you get up and be excited to go to work. That would change the world. That would really,
That's what you're doing. You would change the world, Teresa.
That is my mission. It's crazy to me, and I've been there myself, that the vast majority of us dreads their living, waking hours for 40, 50 hours a week. It's insane when the productivity of this world and of our society and the happiness would just be exploding if everyone would be really into, excited, come alive by the work they do.
Yeah. And oh, that reminds me of when you were saying the other day about like how you want to work with organizations and help people put them in the right roles. And yeah, like I think about the people I worked with in corporate and how so many of them were not in the positions that were good for them. And everyone kind of suffers from that. And how much better would the organization be if they were utilizing their workforce, having them in the roles that spoke to their gifts and strengths? Like, it'd be so much better.
Wouldn't it be incredible? If you have a scientist, they get to do all the problem solving. And we're going to be talking about lots more of different Sparkotypes in the future episodes. But if you have a maker, they get to do all the creating things. If you have an advisor, they get to do all the guiding and coaching. If you have a sage, they do the internal trainings and teaching. And everyone would enjoy the work they do, come alive, and a company's productivity would just explode. It would just go through.
I know. Can you imagine if customer service was done by a nurturer?
Yes.
Oh my God, that'd be so great.
Oh my God. And I mean, I'm a very process-driven Sparkotype too, and service-driven work is draining for me. And I was in customer service. I started my career in customer service. It wasn't objectively hard work, but for me, it was so draining. At the end of the day, I was done, like so done. I had nothing left. Like my battery was like below zero.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've been in that position too. I was like, oh, the emotional tax it has on me. It's like I'm like through the floor. I'm on the floor. But with the right person, oh my gosh,
they would come alive.
Things would go so, just from like a customer perspective, like they would feel so seen and helped and cared for. Like, wow, people would rave about that.
Exactly. And the person who, the nurture advisor who would be so incredible is, might be right now in a role where they're asked to solve problems, which is so draining for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the scientist who loves to solve problems might be in a customer service role where they just, their battery is drained. What if he can just switch this? It might take some training, but it'll be worse. So like it will be worth it so much, because they both would be so excited to learn what they need to learn to succeed in that role.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is such a great tool, and I'm so glad that you use it. And I am glad that you made me redo the test, because I couldn't remember and I couldn't find the old results. So I was like, oh, this is really helpful knowing that.
Love it.
My shadow and my anti.
Yes, I love that, Katie. And Katie, where can people find you and follow you?
Yes, I'm mostly on Instagram at Hello Katie Momo. I am on LinkedIn. I'm more of a watcher on LinkedIn, but I am there. So if you DM me, I am absolutely there to message you back. And yeah, send me a message. I would love to know. And if you're another scientist and you have some 3 a.m. brilliant ideas, tell me about it. I would love to hear your techniques as well.
Yes. And if anyone listening in wants to become an amazing copywriter or work with you, tell me about where they can find your brand new course.
Absolutely. You can come over to katiemomo.com. That is my home base online where I have everything. And hopefully the next few weeks, things will be coming up there as it starts coming out. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled for that.
That is incredible. And I've worked with you before, and there is simply no better copywriter out there than you, Katie. I'm 100%. You're a genius copywriter. And that is mostly due to probably your 3 a.m. genius ideas. And I'm so thankful for the work you're doing.
I'm so grateful to work with you. You're just like, you just light up my day. And I was so honored to be on this podcast, because I'm like, I get to talk to Teresa again. I was like, sign me up. I want to get on here.
I loved having you, Katie. And for anyone listening in who wants to get as excited about their work and their career, I have an exciting life event coming up. It is called Get Clear on Your Career, the Masterclass. And if you want to join, there's only a handful of spots left. You want to go to careerbloomcoaching.com/masterclass and grab one of those last spots now. And I'm going to walk you through step-by-step the process of finding work that makes you just as happy as Katie is about her work today.
Yay! That's going to be amazing.
So thank you again, Katie, for being here today. We loved every minute of this amazing conversation. Thank you for tuning in, everyone, and I'll see you next time.